Hello and welcome to Conversations from the Adoption and Fostering podcast. In this episode, I speak to Maria, an adult adoptee who shares her experience of adoption. Maria describes discovering that she was illegally adopted and the challenges she's faced trying to gather any information in relation to her biological family. She also speaks of the community that she is now part of and how they work together to try and find out more information. As always, if you've experience of adoption, fostering or special guardianship from any perspective and would like to share that on the podcast, please get in touch through the Facebook or Twitter page, or you can email us at andfpodcast@gmail.com.
My name is Maria Fernanda. I am 32 years old and I am from Colombia. I am an adoptee. I learned since I was I was very little. I don't even remember when my parents told me. Like, I think I grew up always knowing that I was adopted. It has never affected me in my childhood. I thought actually it was a good thing, just because I was special. Maybe my parents, when they told me that I was adopted, I don't remember, maybe they mentioned that, it was more important to be from a kid from the heart than from the belly. So I think that was something it really marked me, and I never matched anything about adoptions negatively. So it was very positive in my life. And I actually never received any strange comments from my family. It was never mentioned when I was growing up that I was adopted. Everyone knew, but it was never a topic or a thing that we discussed in family. I always knew how I was adopted, but not until recently I decided just to investigate a bit further. And it's now when I think, the adoption was not normal. And it's now questions and asking more questions and wondering, I don't know, maybe just thinking, learning about the reality of adoption. And what they told me was that they always wanted to have a child, but my mother, she couldn't have kids. She tried a lot. She even had a child early ages, but she lost it. And after that, she couldn't get pregnant again. But then she kept trying and trying. And at the end, it was not possible. She did a lot of treatments and And through a friend, she learned about adoption, because her friend as well did adopt a kid. So she asked more information, and actually she got in contact with this woman that it was from Medellin. Actually, I'm from Barranquilla. My parents are from Barranquilla. It's a city in the coast. So they learned about this woman that was based in Medellin, that she was helping women in difficulties. This woman was very old. Her name is Margarita Núñez de Umaña. She was helping women that couldn't have kids to give it to other women. No questions asked, nothing, no papers, no adoption papers. So my mom just called her, told her that she wasn't a kid. And Margarita told her that, there was this woman that couldn't have her child, and if she was okay to have the kids, to have me at that time. And my mom said yes. She asked if it was a girl or a boy. Well, Margarita didn't know, because she was okay. Do you want a kid or do you want a girl? And my mom, it's like that. So anything that she has, I will take care of her. So on my birthday, on 27 March, my adoptive mom received a call that I was born, and she traveled to Medellin. And then she went to Margarita's place, and she just gave it, like, gave me, like, if she was, like, just picking up something, then it was just, here is your kid, and no questions asked. I think my mom never gave any information or any background, like, no, there was no checkup or anything. And actually, my mom didn't ask much about my biological parents. I think she was very scared at that moment that they were going to take me back or something.
Can I ask?
So, Margarita, yes.
Just, is adoption or was adoption at that time legal within Colombia?
Yes, yes, because my mom actually started adoption papers with ECBF, that's as, like, association that is still now, but that took very, very long, and actually she never received any answer. Adoption was legal, but it was quite hard.
Yeah.
But with this woman, it was just, like, easy. No, yeah. Nothing asked, no papers, no nothing.
And was there, I mean, it sounds like quite a dark story. But did your mother, your adoptive mother, pay for?
I always ask that question, but she told me that she didn't pay anything. Yeah. She told her that my biological mom, like, had already a family with three kids. And actually her husband went to the US, something like this, started to work in there. And then she had me with another guy, but she couldn't keep me because it was going to risk her financial situation.
Yeah.
With her family and her kids. And her brother told her that she couldn't keep me. So that's how she went to Margarita and asked for help. And Margarita did all this on her side. My mother, she never met my biological mother. They never crossed paths. My mom never asked for her name, so I don't have a name. I don't have, like, any birth certificate, a legal birth certificate. And then my mom, the next day, like on 28th of March, she came back to Barranquilla, and she went and did all the paperwork, and my birth certificate is basically, like, she and my dad are my parents, and I was born actually in the house that we were living at the moment. I think there is no even a doctor in there, and I had, like, two witnesses that is, like, neighbor and my grandmother. So basically that's all I have on paperwork. I don't have anything about adoption. I don't have a name of my biological parents or anything. So I grew up with all this story, and I think it was okay for me until, like, 2 years ago. I don't know. I was thinking, and I don't know what triggered me, but I just said that, you know, I want to learn. And even when I asked my mom, like, who was this woman, she couldn't remember the name of Margarita. She doesn't remember the place that she went in Medellin. She cannot remember anything. And she asked even her friend, and her friend didn't remember that. So I found that a bit strange, but
yeah,
it was like that. That's when I started to, like, you know, look on my side. And I started posting my story on Facebook. And it was in Colombian adoptees groups. And another adoptee told me, you know, your story is quite similar. And I think I know the name of this woman. And she was the one who told me that it was Margarita. But yeah, she is now dead. She was quite old at that moment. And actually, when I was looking for Margarita, she did hundreds of adoptions. I think I was one of the last ones, because she started doing this in the 70s, in the 60s, and at that, at 89, she was already quite old. My mom even told me that when her friend's daughter started to look for, like, for as well, for her roots, for information, they learned that Margarita and her family had to go to the U.S. for, like, issues with child trafficking. But I don't know, like, the truth of that. I don't know if it's real or not. But anyone, like, on these groups, they can't find any information about Margarita or her child, because they just disappear.
Yeah.
So there is no option for me, like, just to go and find her to see if she knows my mother. But yeah, that's the same situation of other hundred of, like, Margarita's childs that she put in adoption. I learned after that she did adoptions to the U.S. Same with fake papers, with fake information, and other adoption in Colombia with no papers, same as mine. And as well, like, looking at this group, like, other people had to pay, like, the parents, the adoptive parents, did donations. And so that's why, like, okay, maybe my mother, she doesn't want to tell me that, yeah, she paid. Even if she paid, it was fine. But yeah, other people did give money to this woman, to Margarita, for the kids.
I don't want to cut across you, but I'm just sort of, my mind's thinking about this sort of revelation that you always knew you were adopted, but then you discovered it was illegal. And even that's complicated, because your parents could have said, you never told you were adopted, because there was no evidence. It was all, you know, they had the original certificate. So it seems like this a contradiction, that it was illegal, but they were open about it.
Yeah.
So that must leave you, you know, as you started to kind of join the dots and think about this, it must have put you in quite a difficult position.
Yes, it's quite strange, because they raised me as if I am their daughter, like, you know, I am their daughter, and they love me.
Yeah.
Like, you can imagine. But yeah, when I started to ask questions, like, you know, when you said you adopted, but then you start learning that, you know, there are, like, legal adoptions, and then mine have no papers, like, they could have lied to me every time. So it's a bit hard to accept that they had to do that in that way, and they never think about my, you know, my well-being. Like, if one day I wanted to learn about my biological family, like, I have my rights. And they didn't see it that way until now, that I actually, like, started asking questions, and I got really mad to them, because I thought they were lying in a moment. I thought they were hiding the truth, you know, like, when they told me they couldn't remember the name of Margarita, like, you know, how come it's the woman that gave you your kid and you cannot remember? But, well... So I feel there might be some information that they are not telling me, but maybe I don't want to worry about it. I don't want to make it an issue, because at the end they did the best they could by raising me and by giving me the best that they could. So I decided, yeah, I had to look on my side, and I will do, like, all I can to look for my roots, for my story, yeah, for all the things that everyone has and you as an adoptee, you don't have. I don't even know if I have, like, medical record, you know, if I suffer, yeah, of something. I don't know if I look like someone. I don't know if some of my, I don't know, like, my personality is like them. I have no idea. So for other people, it's like, it's there, but for me, I just wonder, you know, like, what if I was with them? What if I was never adopted? What if I? So it's, that part is kind of hard, like for me, like all these questions that does an adoptee, like I start asking. And I feel like it's now when I like decided to look, I started to talk to other adoptees, and I realized, yeah, that I'm not alone, that all these feelings are normal, because I couldn't talk this with anyone before about the feelings, about feeling of abandoned, being abandoned, feeling of like not being loved, feeling of, well, then I think, what if Margarita was, what if they like gave me like, sorry, what if like Margarita just took the babies and not, and then giving it away, you know, like maybe these mothers were actually in need and Margarita just took advantage and took the babies away, basically stole them. Like now as well, learning about women that they were in poor situations and they were told like, yeah, the baby died, or we are going to take away your baby because you don't have money and all these things. And made me wonder, like, as illegal this adoption was, maybe Margarita, for money, she had this kind of business of babies, which is like very hard to say, but yeah, like that part, like, made me wonder, like, yeah, what if I was not abandoned? What if I was stolen, taken away from my biological family? And no one can give me that answer now.
No, I mean, I'm just listening to you, and it's really moving to hear you finding yourself in this position where you love your parents, but there's such a lack of information, and there could be so many possibilities, and some of them quite horrible possibilities, but you can't resolve them. So you say you've joined Facebook groups, and have you found sort of support within that community?
Yes, a lot. And yeah, just talking to other adoptees, it just gives me like, I don't know, like this feeling that, yeah, I'm not the only one that is on this path. I'm not the only one that always had this question when I was little, or that now, like, when you want the truth, you cannot have it. So it's kind of like sharing our feelings. So this kind of support, I couldn't have it elsewhere. Just talking now with adoptees and as well, like learning about mothers' stories is like, I would love to help them and tell them, you know, I'm your child and that's it, mystery solved. So I always have this hope every time I just post my story. I talk like, what if my mom, like, I don't know, hears about my birthday or the story or Margarita, and she knows that I'm alive, or she knows that I'm searching, and she knows that, you know, I'm there asking for questions. So that's why, yeah, I keep being active on groups and trying to raise my voice and raise awareness as well of my story. And it's now that even like I start talking to my friends about it. Like I just realized like I have a lot of friends that they don't know I'm adopted. And just talking this with them is helping me to accept, to keep searching. It's just giving me motivation, and they help me as in everything they can. It's just good to know to be open about it and share it.
Yeah.
And yeah, if you see me, actually, I look very similar like to my mom and my dad. Like, that's why like people, they never ask questions that if I'm adopted. So and I'm quite grateful to have that, because I can only imagine if I would have like growth in another country, not knowing my language, not knowing my, I don't know, not looking similar to my parents, that could have been worse. So in that case, I am a bit grateful for all that, to be put in the hands of my parents that they were good to me.
That's really complicated, isn't it? Because they obviously love you and you love them. But there's so much uncertainty around the whole how you ended up to be there. Can I ask, and obviously you don't live in Colombia now, so you live in Europe.
Well, yes.
London. And so is there is that an added issue? Because obviously, Colombia's a long way away and it's, is that added to the problem and of isolation perhaps?
No, I think I travel to Europe because I first traveled to France for different reasons. I think I never wanted to go away and be away from my parents. Sometimes I feel like that is bad what I'm doing because they did all this work and all this effort to have a kid and now I'm leaving just because I want to live my life. It doesn't have to be with the adoption. But yeah, that feeling of want to pay back, it's not normal. And
yeah,
I feel that that they have done something quite good to me, so I have to be there, so to be with them, to call them, to send money, I don't know, just have the feeling always be grateful for them. It's something that sometimes I question myself, why I'm like that, why I have this feeling. But when I try to travel back, I always start asking more questions and more questions. I feel like it's much better to ask them face to face and than by phone. So I take advantage all the time that I travel back to Colombia.
Hmm. And so what does the future look like for you? What are your plans? Are you going to keep searching and kind of become more involved in the community?
Yes, I will never lose my hope. I really want to find my story. I won't, even if it takes all my life, I will still looking for my family and trying to support as well the adoptive community. Even right now, I'm volunteering to this association. It's called Plan Angel, and that helps families to reunite each other. And they travel a lot to Colombia to find mothers that actually with very sad stories that kids were stolen when they were born, that they family just took away the kids and took them to this place and they were just put into adoption. And then all the adopted kids that just end up in bad hands and suffer. So I really want to help and to show the stories of these people, and as well with the hope that one day I can find my family and one day I can, go to my family, my birth family's ears, and they will do a DNA test and finally we will meet, because actually that's my only way to find my family. It's only with DNA tests. One day I just learned that DNA tests existed and that people are looking the family through that, and I learned it through Plan Angel, and I just went crazy and I bought five DNA tests one day, and all with the hope that maybe one of my close family have taken it. But at the end I didn't find anyone. It's just very, very fourth or third cousin, so it's quite hard with the DNA now to find my family. It was funny, in one of the DNA tests, I found a close family, close a relative. And when I talked to him, I thought he was an uncle, like we could share a great grandparent. And at the end, he told me that he was adopted as well, and he was looking for his family, so we couldn't give much information to each other. So that was fun.
You can't make that up, can you? That is just for you both to be dislocated, but to have found each other, but not be able to find kind of the source, the root.
Yes, and actually that was quite moving, because when we talked for the first time, we shared the experience as an adoptee. We shared like our concerns, our hope to find the family, or I don't know, like a lot of questions, medical records, I don't know, so many things. And it felt good, even if, you know, we don't know each other. We might be very related, but we don't know. And it was funny, that was 1 year ago. And hopefully I could go. He's living in the US and adopted from Medellin. And hopefully one day I could go and admit him. It could be funny to meet your cousin that is adopted as well.
Yeah, that kind of messes with your head a bit, doesn't it?
Yes.
To put it, bluntly. Maria, you've been so honest and open with your story. I mean, it's left me with so much thinking around kind of adoption. And I mean, how do you feel about adoption generally beyond your own story?
Well, generally, even if my adoption went fine, in brackets, because I don't have any papers, but like at the end, I end up in a good family, love family, like grow up with so much with them. I'm so against adoption. I don't want anyone to feel like I'm feeling, because you feel lost. You feel like you don't have history. Sometimes you feel you don't connect with your family. You don't look alike with your family. Like, all these questions, just the fact of being separated with your biological family makes no sense to me. Even if they were in issues, you know, like if they were very, like my mother was in this financial struggle and whatever, why the government couldn't help her to keep me, you know, why the family couldn't help her to keep me with her. So adoption for me shouldn't be a thing. It shouldn't be something that people just, you know, it's good to adopt. No, it's good for us to be with our family. It's good for us to be close to our biological family. It is like that. Like even with, I don't know, like just, it doesn't make sense that people do that play with babies. I cannot imagine like just looking a baby and just deciding, you know, you're not going to be with her, you're going to be with this woman, and just passing it through, like, you know, like if we don't have a right, like if, I don't know, I find it that we are just to play around with the life of someone. And can you imagine, like, even if this Margarita's head, like, just putting babies in other hands and don't asking if they were going to be okay, why they, like, if they were going to be much better with the family. We suffer, like, even if you had a good experience in adoption, you still suffer, you have questions. And I cannot imagine those that have suffered abandonment, that have suffered abuse of their adoptive parents, that have suffered, like, very, like, bad experience. Like, we shouldn't be through this. And that's why I every time like people talk about adoption, people adopting because they cannot have kids, like, no, that's not a reason. You're separating a kid from the family. That shouldn't be okay. And even if I told my opinion to my parents, they are very shocked. Like, I'm grateful, but it was bad. It's not okay what they did. And yeah, like people won't accept this comment, but yeah, it's not okay.
Maria, you've been so honest, and I really appreciate you giving your time and sharing your story, which is incredibly raw, and it is thought-provoking. So thank you so much for your time, and you know, I kind of wish you well with your ongoing search.
Thank you very much, and thank you for giving me the opportunity to share this.